Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And it's a double toil and trouble right here.
Tall boys.
Yeah, we got two kinds of beer from Double Clutch. We got their Festbier and their Marzen, a.k.a. Oktoberfest Lager.
Yeah, you don't see too many crews doing both styles, right? I think the Fest beer is a pale lager
that's
served at the actual Oktoberfest. And then the Marzen is what we kind of know the Oktoberfest ought to be.
Right, malty, rich.
Copper.
Yeah. I'm currently drinking the Fest beer, and you've already dived into the Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
What do you think going back and forth?
The Marzen is nice. I don't know if it's making me happy one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more excited to see a Fest beer.
I went to Double Clutch to talk about it a little bit, but my brain at that point when I was there, I saw they said Marzen and Fest beer. And I was like, oh, I'll get the Oktoberfest, the Fest beer. And it came out, I was like, this is way too light. Like, what is, and then I was like, oh, Fest beer, the other one's the Oktoberfest. Then I got the Oktoberfest and I was like, I wish I had more Fest beer.
It's a nice touch, you know, for them to have both. So yeah. Good for them. How was the mug situation over there?
They had the rope mug.
Oh, the one similar to the one that we couldn't drink out of?
Temperance.
Temperance?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was nice. Hmm. Good mug quality.
We're the fucking mug police now. This Fest season.
So, yeah, we're going to kick back these. We got a bunch of different topics to talk about, Chicago and beyond related here. Should we get into our stops first, I guess, real quick?
Let's do it.
Okay, so I did Burning Bush.
Okay.
Who, they have Oktoberfest. They didn't have cans, unfortunately. They got a nice Kolsch. I think it's called Holy Water. Pretty good.
The Preacher Man Brewery.
Yeah. The guy filling up my beer, though, I was like, oh, if I get to Oktoberfest, can I get in a mug? Because, you know, I want a picture. He's like, ah, we don't have mugs. He did say, if you bring a mug, I will fill whatever for you.
Well, look at that.
So we could just show up.
Well,
with
look
these
at that.
And be like, we need some Oktoberfest filled.
Totally fucking do this. Yeah, now I want to go to Burning Bush.
Which maybe be like, yeah, I'm paying for the liquid. I'm not paying for the glass. I'm giving the glass back.
Yeah.
So give it to me in anything I want.
Right? I love it. You know, that should just be a rule. You know?
If you bring your own glass, we'll fill it.
Yeah, if you don't have a mug. If I bring a mug, and they're like, nah, fuck you, we can't fill that mug. We have our own mugs. Fair. But if I bring my mug and you don't have a mug?
But you could always do what we did with the coconuts, just order your thing and pour it into your mug.
Oh, that's true. I remember that. Yeah. The coconut was so close to being perfect, because we were ready. Brad was ready with these coconuts.
At Revolution, yeah.
And we had the super massive coconut. And we thought they gave us the wrong one because we couldn't taste the fucking coconut. It was so weird.
So, did Burning Bush. This was all on bikes. Did Burning Bush. Then went up to Spiteful.
Okay.
Who had an Oktoberfest going on.
Oh, they had like a full-on party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had myself a sausage there.
Their Oktoberfest sneaky good. I don't know where it ranks, but I like theirs more than the... I'm looking on the table. I like Spiteful's more than the Half Acre. I like Spiteful's more than the Double Clutch.
Yeah.
Man. I don't know what it is, because it's the same thing every time we record the show, so I'm not, like, in a different mood when I had these. I just like it. I like it better.
Mm-hmm. But it was packed. We had one beer and kind of got out of there.
they party in, well, their tap room's not super big. So are you in, is it the party in other spaces in this place or?
Tap room and spill over into like the outside seating.
Oh yeah, that's right. They got some good sidewalk seating.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we were able to find a table for a little bit and then just like, we gotta go. We gotta press on. We gotta ride to Double Clutch.
Man, so you started at Burning Bush. This is a good romp. Burning Bush to Spiteful to Double Clutch.
Right.
It's a good romp. Yeah.
Could have added.
I never go to fucking Burning Bush.
Yeah, it's a good spot to start on the river path if you want to ride that because it starts or ends depending on where you are coming or going from. Yeah. And then you could ride it all the way up to basically. You can ride it all the way up to Evanston.
Yeah.
And so we could have stopped at Alarmist, but we just decided to go to Double Clutch. I'm getting food. Had myself their burger, their smash burger.
Okay. That's too bad. I went to Fatso's Last Stand because they had a smash burger. No. And it's by my kid's school. It's not enough emphasis on the smash.
Okay.
Everybody's doing these smash burgers, and they're doing like a piss-poor version of job of smashing them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Theirs was almost too nice of a smash burger. Oh. Like it was too pretty put together and yeah. It was good, but not like I got to go back for this burger.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had the Fest beer at the Oktoberfest. And then I saw, I'll mention this, that they had a fee on their menu that 2.8% goes to healthcare and 401k for the staff.
Here we go.
Which the staff, the guy was very nice. Like he divided up the check, no problem. And so, you know, these people deserve pay. But
for sure,
healthcare and 401ks are both tax deductible by the business. So to even be mentioning that to the consumer, to have to think about paying for that when you're going to get a break on that as the business when you do it.
You as a business get breaks that normal individual employees do not. Uh-huh. So, yeah. I want to know who they saw that was doing that, what conference they went to that said, you know what, people think this is a good idea, so just you should start doing this shit. Start itemizing all the shit you pay for on the fucking receipt for beer and food.
Right.
Whose idea was this?
That's 3%, so then the waiter gets 3% less tip from me when I go and do the little toast app.
I don't understand this.
Because I'm going to give 20%. There was 3.
Just raise the price. We say this every time. Just raise the price of whatever the item is. I'd rather just do that. I don't want to know. Mm-hmm. I don't want to know. I don't care.
Yeah.
I feel like you're rubbing in my nose in it that you can deduct the more in taxes than me. It's pissing me off. Just I wasn't even there and I'm pissed off.
Right. Would you not be giving this to your employees if you weren't getting this extra 3%.
It's like you want a pat on the back for doing the right thing.
Right.
It's, you know, just do the right thing. Get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm. Especially someone like Double Clutch who would believe they're part of a restaurant group or they're basically, they got a bunch of money.
I mean, well, that was their garage for their classic cars. And this, their project was, if I remember this correctly, the son wanted to pitch a project to his dad and his friends who had a classic car garage. So he went to pick up his kid from school and he would always run into another guy picking up his kid. And that guy was a home brewer for like 20 years.
Right.
And that was, and they joined forces, pitched it, and boom, now the classic car garage is a brewery.
Right.
Yeah. But you gotta, and maybe if we're off pace, somebody please correct us. But it sounds kind of ridiculous, right? Like putting all these itemized things on the fucking bill.
Everyone's getting mad at these fees, and so people are just not tipping. And so then they're also just starting to basically be like, we added the tip on here. You don't even get the choice anymore because people aren't even tipping because they're getting mad at the whole thing.
Yeah. Or, you know, or if you go that route, right, put your itemized stuff on there and then just include 15% or whatever. Just have it on there and just say, hey, oh, if you want a tip more, but we already took care of the tip for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
There you go. Yeah. Other spot we'll talk about in a minute, but what'd you hit up over the weekend?
Phase 3.
Okay.
Phase 3. Went up there because there was a release for their a collab with Other Half. Other half's in New York. It was called Jolted Dunks. Not sure what that is. Oh, it's a coffee stout in Willet barrels.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So you get to try. I wanted to try it on draft. The bottle's cute. It's got the little pink wax on it. But I really just wanted to try it on draft first and see if it was too goddamn sweet. That's the thing about this phase three thing, man. Take the phase three to Dark Lord Day and have them side by side. And what we thought was the barrier for sweetness is fucking Dark Lord. It's not. P3 is way sweeter than Dark Lord.
Oh, shit.
And we're like, this is out of control. What I did like was that they had the little Oktoberfest. Oktoberfest was on. Marzen. Branded. Five ounce stemless wine glass.
Oh.
So really cool.
That's a cool glass.
So that's like kind of your little sidecar to the stout.
Okay.
Just kind of one and done. Yeah.
That's nice.
So. But yeah, cheers to them. I think it was Willet Barrels, and there's a crew called Clover Coffee out of New York that they use some African blend in that coffee.
Oh, not the Clover, the machine Clover. There was like the automated espresso machine that I think Starbucks bought that was called Clover a few years ago. This is a different Clover.
No, this is a crew called Clover. What's it called? We got the photos right here. But yeah, it was... it's not Clover. It's Cloud Cover.
Okay.
Cloud Cover is the coffee maker out of New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's better, yeah.
I don't know why where I got Clover from.
Yeah. Cool.
That was my main stop.
Main stop? Okay. The other stop I made, which goes along with a story that came out, I stopped at Metropolitan, which, 2 weeks in a row now at Metropolitan?
They were the only ones, I think, on the ride that threw like a fest, like a bash.
Yeah.
You know.
This was a Wednesday night, so the day before we're recording this. Not too busy in there. I got the Oktoberfest. I got, they had a dry hop flywheel, which was great.
Okay. That's what I want to say. I always confuse flywheel and crankshaft.
Yeah.
One's a Zwickel.
Flywheel's the Pilsner.
Okay.
Right?
Then... maybe crankshaft is Zwickel.
Maybe.
They got a Zwickel.
Crankshaft the Kolsch? No.
The Kolsch?
There is a Zwickel.
I had a Dortmunder from them recently. So they got a Zwickel, a Dortmunder, a Kolsch.
But that dry hop flywheel, amazing.
Pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the only two beers I had. But one story that popped up this past week was Metropolitan's filing for bankruptcy.
So this might be the only time, this might be the last time you ever go to fucking Metropolitan.
I don't know. I don't think anyone knows what to make of this story because about 2 years ago, or I think mostly during COVID, I think the story came out that the landlord or Metropolitan was paying a crazy amount to the landlord who was charging them for a space, which I believe was a second floor that no longer was there, that they either had to demolish or get rid of. But the landlord's like, well, that was in your lease to pay for that space. If you're using it or not, just because it's gone, you need to pay for it.
Should have read your lease kind of thing.
Right.
Rockwell on the River is the name of this place, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The multi-use kind of...
and it's
mall on the river, basically.
And it's becoming, you know, when Metropolitan was in there... it was nothing. And now it's becoming the space with the event space, the distillery,
Justin and Moore's distillery.
Right. There's a couple of restaurants. You can rent boats / kayaks from there.
Yeah. The boat people are there. Metropolis Coffee's there. They're not public facing yet, though. Kind of weird.
Right.
But.
So it's a destination. And if you go on the weekends, it's typically packed.
Shit. During Oktoberfest, there was a wedding. Same day.
Oh, yeah.
The Moors guys, they do an Emancipation Ball every year. They used to do it in the Sears Tower. In their event space, they moved it to Rockwell.
Okay.
So it's a space that people know to be a proper event space.
So I don't know if them filing for bankruptcy is to somehow renegotiate the lease, get out of the lease, prove that they can't afford this, restructure the company so they can have a new lease. It's something to do with the lease. It has to come down to it. But it also makes me wonder how well is Metropolitan doing outside of that tap room?
Well,
I almost...
Where were they before this? Like, where was the brewery? Wasn't it the old urban artifacts?
Where Urban Renewal was.
So it was like a go... So this is like their go big or go home thing.
It was big, yeah.
But there was no... They didn't have a tap room at all.
Right.
In that space. So this was their attempt at having... Like a their tap room is a destination. I mean, their tap room is the best tap room in the city.
Sure.
It's a destination tap room. It's very nice. But yeah, it sounds like it's a lot of weight.
Yeah.
If you're filing for bankruptcy, then that space is a ton of weight for you.
Yeah. I typically only pick up Metropolitan beer when I go there, and then I'm getting some for the show.
Yeah. I make it there more than I eat deep dish. I make it there maybe 2-3 times a year. Metro space. I have Oktoberfest is one, and then it's just hard to deny. Well, I live in Avondale, so it's hard to deny it. It's like a mile away. So.
Right.
I mean, but I don't go a ton. I don't go a ton.
Yeah. So I don't know what this means for Metro, like moving forward.
It'll be like the Sox. They're like, we're moving to Tampa. That I don't. I mean, they might downsize, right? You might downsize, but then, okay, so if you're in bankruptcy, right, whatever that means, right, because there's different types of bankruptcy.
Right, it just said bankruptcy. It didn't necessarily say Chapter 11 or whatever. But
so is it, you know, you file for bankruptcy so you can protect whatever it is you have, whether it's the equipment. It could be a lien, you know, protect you against creditors and liens.
Right.
Right. Maybe somebody could put a lien against all this equipment you got.
The landlord was trying to go after him, be like, you have the money, pay me.
And they're like, we don't have it. Brewing is expensive. You buy in Metro space, let's just be on the conservative side and say they got a 15-barrel system with 30-barrel fermenters. Conservative, right? Not crazy big, but big enough. I mean, that's like buying if you're a recording artist, that's just like buying a whole studio.
Yeah.
Just to record. Like, isn't it, people overlook how expensive an operation this is, you know? So, I mean, fuck. You know what? Out of all the people that it sounds like either... we're about to close or have to move or the shit might be over for them. This is the one that kind of sucks if this is true and they might be either downsizing or closing because I actually really like Metro.
Right.
So I hope whatever this is, I hope they figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, I think we'll know more or find out more as we move forward, but this is a real story unlike our Goose Island rumors.
Yeah. I think what we do here on this show is speculate wildly, I think is the phrase. So it's all in play.
Okay. All right. Damn. So then not really on the speculation, but on the last week's episode, I said I didn't care about any of the winners.
I remember that. I was trying to talk you out of that, but you were already, Brad was already in.
Yeah. I'm standing by this. I thought about it.
As we drink two different four packs from one of the winners, we're talking about...
Yeah, but I'm not going back to Double Clutch.
We're talking about JVF.
So,
I think there were six Illinois.
There are now only two breweries for me Evanston.
They're dead to me.
And one of them's also a winner.
You're like Tony Soprano talking about his mom. She's dead to me.
One of them's also a winner, but I go to the Skokie location, so...
Wowzers.
I don't even need to drink beer in Evanston anymore.
Wowzers. Should we pull up the old JBF here and see what the hell's going on with
right,
the
breweries? So the one was Sketchbook. They won for the Grotsky.
Yeah, how do you even say that, man? Grotsky?
Grotsky.
Yeah.
Which is like a kind of a smoke beer, right?
It's basically Miller Lite with a hit and a smoke.
Okay.
It's like a very light smoked pills.
That's the way I ever... I'm like, you know what? I could go for one of those.
You know that one that really sucked was fucking Soundgrowler. I was like, I hate this beer. But then they redeemed themselves quickly because they had a smoked Marzen that was money. Oh, so I'm at the JBF site. This revamped. You just you pull up Illinois and you hit search and then boom, off you go.
Nice.
So we got them all seven of them.
Okay.
Or maybe six.
So what did what Sketchbook win? Well, they won what medal color?
Gradzitsky.
Okay.
Historical beer. That's a bronze.
Okay.
Yeah. Moore Brewing won a bronze for Lil Space Booties. That's a juicy or hazy pale.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so that's one of the bigger categories, right. Juicy or hazy pale. And then the aforementioned Double Clutch, day one for their Helles Rausch beer. Two smoked beers, take medals at JBF. That's a silver for them.
Okay.
Let's see, Workforce out in Plainfield. Wood and Barrel Aged Strong Stout, they took a bronze for the Barrel Aged Count Chungus.
That's probably for your, when you do your FOBAB bracket thing, you might want to take Workforce.
I get Workforce every time.
Okay.
I really suck at that, by the way. Like, I never get close to winning. I got close to winning, like, maybe once.
But this could be a beer to look out for anyone going to FOBAB.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, side note about that. I was watching the awards, and I saw, I got Eric Fizer, who is the founder of Flipside. I saw him collecting an award on the stage. And I'm, so I hit him on FB. I'm like, I just saw your ass on stage. But I didn't see what he won for. He's like, oh, no, I'm just picking up. I wish it was mine, but I was picking up Workforces. Okay. So I can get it to him so they didn't have to mail it. Who else? So Hop down in Huntley. Hello.
Okay, so yeah, so Moore and So Hop.
Yeah, Moore and So Hop.
Yeah. Damn, Huntley.
Oh, that's right, because there's a Moore up there.
All right.
Is that, where is that, the Moore? Is that Huntley?
Yeah, it's right off the expressway.
Oh, shit.
Am I going to have to go to So Hop now?
I keep forgetting that the second Moore's in Huntley. You're right.
Yeah.
Damn, Huntley on the map.
Huntley and Evanston.
Some funny Huntley and Evanston are multiple winners at GABF. This is amazing. So Hop won for a German alt beer.
Okay.
They won a gold. Yeah. Shout out to Crystal Lake. They won for their Boathouse Reserve Imperial Stout. That's experimental wood aged beer. That's a silver.
Okay. We've had some of those in the past. Very good.
Yeah. And the only Chicago proper brewery, Horse Thief Hollow. International Style Pilsner.
Sort of.
Little Wing Gold. It's in city limits, Brad. Here we go with this shit. Every fucking time in this guy. It's in Chicago. It's on 104th and Western. It's very Chicago. And it's very much a gold medal.
What they went, what was the style?
For Little Wing, which is an international style Pilsner.
Oh, so I've had that. That is very good.
When you're hanging out at Horse Thief Hollow, you know, the first thing people ask is like, what's your lightest beer? What's the beer that tastes like Miller Lite? And they always point them to Little Wing. Little Wing's a Jimi Hendrix song, too. So it's kind of cool. But yeah, so there were two golds, man. The So Hop Gold and the Horse Thief Hollow Gold.
Okay.
Yeah. But like, what to Brad's point, which is hilarious, two medals from Evanston, two medals from Huntley.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So there you go.
Not a big year for Chicago. It's getting, I think.
Six. Six is decent for Illinois. For Chicago,
for Illinois. Yeah,
One for Chicago.
Which, that's bad.
Yeah.
What do you think about that one?
Considering that, like, Chicago has more breweries than any other city now.
Yeah. These places are fucking up. That's why they're filing for bankruptcy.
Jesus Christ.
Damn. But anyway, on the sketchbook thing, Sean Curry hit us up, which he's probably going to be mad about what I said on the last episode. But he was talking about NA beers, and he said we should do an episode with Go Brewing.
They share a parking lot with Solemn Oath.
Yeah. So maybe look for that coming in November, early November, as maybe you like either are thinking about dry January or basically be like, I need a break before the holidays start.
Solemn Oath does that, those domes too.
Oh yeah, but that might not be open yet.
No,
but we'll probably record it. Go Brewing. But there was been a lot of talk about non-alcoholic beers lately. Molson Coors, like president or CEO, talked about that they have a non-alcoholic Blue Moon coming out. They're focused on energy drinks and basically everything that's not beer from Molson Coors. So,
second largest brewery on the planet behind Budweiser.
It's not looking great for beer.
Not everybody drinks beer. Right, they're trying to diversify their portfolio.
Right, but they're making beer with no alcohol. Like, if you're not drinking beer, you're not drinking it because there's alcohol in it. I would think there are so many other things to drink.
Who is the who is the target customer for non-alcoholic beer?
Right. It's either someone that stopped drinking because they were like, I drink too much.
You're recovering, right? This craft beer thing has been going strong for 30 years. You know, you probably get, you probably had your fill, especially if you were like somebody who was selling beer for, you know, a career.
Yeah.
For 10 years or something, right? You're probably like, hey, man, I love the people, I love the places, but, you know, I can't be getting fucked up like I used to.
Right. I like the taste of all these beers.
Yeah. So but now that's a, they're targeting people who are just kind of worn out on just being in beer circles.
Sure.
Yeah. That's one, that's one, oh, that's one customer.
That's one customer. But that doesn't seem like a very big group of people. Because
it does not.
There
it
are,
does not.
There are lots of options of non-alcoholic things to drink when you go somewhere. There's water.
You can have hop water. You can have just regular-ass sparkling water.
Or just plain tap water.
You know? Or you can have sparkling or still.
Right.
With your water. For sure.
A lot of places are going to offer possibly some sort of juice or soda, like a ginger ale, a Coke.
This is old school. We're talking old school designated driver options.
Right.
You're not drinking today? Cool. Here's a fucking sparkling grapefruit. Here's some lime in your water glass.
Right. And they, whenever they talk about this, they talk about the younger generation, this 21 to 27 year old group, not drinking as much. I can't necessarily speak for this because I'm not in that group, but I don't think they're trying to pretend like they're drinking. Like they don't need a non-alcoholic option. They're fine just drinking a LaCroix and watching whatever sports game, or just hanging out, or
doing an edible, or popping some Molly, or to be
just playing video game. Like
I think they're doing like they're likely doing like, you know, the not Mike's Hard Lemonade or whatever. Truly, White Claw. You know they're doing
if they're drinking,
yeah, right?
Oh, they don't want. I don't think they want beer, and I think a lot of these breweries, you know, Go Brewing is different because we started off talking with them. They are a non-alcoholic brewery, but Molson Coors brewing a whole bunch of non-alcoholic Blue Moon, that's going to sit on the shelf.
Unless they force it down your throat with their, because they're marketing, they're, you know, they're marketing, Budweiser and Miller, they're marketing companies at the end of the day that make beer coast to coast, but they put a lot of money into marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're a non-drinker, which, you know, got to think outside this, are you going to spend the money to buy something that tastes like beer? Or would you just choose a cheaper price and get soda or sparkling water?
Man, it's weird because, you know, the one time I went to Ireland and everybody's there for Guinness, the very first meeting we had at the bar, we were all kind of done drinking Guinness. We had like three of them. And we're like, who wants to move to whiskey? So most of this trip that we went there for Guinness was all about Irish whiskey, right? And this is Guinness. It's got, it's 4.2%. You know, it's got alcohol in it. And I'm saying that to say, I don't understand, is anybody going to beer that has no alcohol in it at all because they really like the taste of beer?
That's what I don't know.
I don't know. If that person exists, we don't know them. So this whole thing is weird. I think what you're saying is like, this shit is weird. Like, why would these really big beer companies be leaning this way? Like,
right. I think some of these craft ones, like the Go, the Athletic, the Big Drop, those I think feel like the space of kind of like, oh, these are like crafty non-alcoholic options.
Oh, so it sounds like Miller's going after them.
They're going after them.
They're going after the boys who figured out to have a niche.
But that's so small.
And it's kind of mean too, right? Because, well, but Athletic is a top 13 brewery now. And
that's true. That's just true.
So I think they're kind of saying we're not letting these independent non-alcoholic boys have all the fun. So they're not really trying to like add to the mix. They're trying to do
steal what some other
the
people.
The same shit that AB did 10 years ago.
That's true. I forgot
Budweiser.
That Alcoholic or Athletic is such a big brewery, technically.
Yeah. So it's like, this is the play. It's the same play. It's like, okay, so AB, bought all these brands 10 years ago.
Right, when craft beer was under 7% of the market, and people are like, what are you doing? It's not even like a threat.
Right. So, but AB's like, no, well, you know, we got so much money and our innovation is stagnant. Let's buy all these breweries and we'll figure it out. The ones that can float, the ones that don't, fuck them. And I think they're doing the same thing in a non-alcoholic space is what it sounds like. Right. Because other than that, I don't understand why you would do it. You're right. Not doing it to just make it that there's more options out there. You're doing it so you can go fuck with the boys that figured out how to sell non-alcoholic beer. Yeah.
Do you, on the non-alcoholic thing, is there a group of people who are drinking these like at work, almost like instead of grabbing a Coke, you're like, oh, I'll just have myself a non-alcoholic IPA?
These are fair questions. It all sounds kind of weird. I mean, unless you're training a child to drink, or you're a recovering alcoholic and you like these spaces and you still want to be social. Those are the two people that I can see drinking it. Other than that, I don't understand it. I don't get it, man. Right?
I guess if you're maybe gluten-free people who sometimes they drink cider or some of these seltzers.
I'm curious to follow it. I think what makes more sense is like the people that AB sold to. They sold their brands to Tilray, which is like they're like in a can. Yeah, they're into like, you know, medical grade cannabis, right?
Yeah.
So the Tilray guys are like, oh, well, we're placing our bet on marijuana beverages taking off.
Okay.
So now we own a bunch of breweries, so we can shift their focus and have them brew or have them produce these beverages that have weed in them.
Although legally, I don't think you can do that yet.
I mean, I think that's they're placing that bet.
Though. Right.
They're placing the bet that's going to change. Why else were you buying all these breweries? If you sell weed, why else are you buying all these breweries? You know?
Like, these are real cheap.
Because we got them for
cheap. Smoked a little too much. You're like, whoa, man, that's like a great deal.
Because we got it for cheap, man. That's why, man.
We're in, dude. Yeah, these sound great.
But no, it's interesting, man.
So there's just like, feels like a lot of waves, things happening right now with this Goose Island rumor. Then Bourbon County stuff is coming out. Then you got this non-alcoholic push. You got Metro bankruptcy. You got other, basically beer sales are flat or down. Like, there's a lot of stuff happening right now that's making for, I guess, a strange industry that's basically peaked, right?
Because you talk about Metro, I was thinking about, I like Goldfinger and I like art history. But art history, I found it interesting that art history has the contract to make dark lager for the house. There's two house beers at Hop Leaf. There's a dark lager and like a pale lager. Yeah. And they're both contract brewed by art history.
Okay.
But I found that interesting because art history is so far away from the city and Metro. You know, on a good day, you could probably walk.
Could have just done it.
You could have walked with the old Metro, you could have walked from it.
Right.
But yeah, I found that interesting. But then, the art history play, you know, I told you I went there one night and there were like 7 ales on draft. Huh. So art history, although they introduce themselves as this lager brewery, they do way more than that. I wonder if because of this thing about Metro, you know, and they're having this bankruptcy thing, maybe they shift and just start making other beers.
Yeah, this dry hop pilsner was pretty interesting. Like, do some more of the this gets into the non-alcoholic thing, but do other things that remind people of IPAs or stouts.
I like them just. Maybe. I like Metro just the way they are. So I hope they come out and talk about this, and I hope they
clear the air
and don't have to change. I hope they don't have to change. More importantly, so
yeah. Anything else? Beguile's got their Oktoberfest-iversary this coming weekend.
That's a good one. I think Dovetail's not making a fest beer this year. They're making a some version of a Hef. They're making like a
non-alcoholic Blue Moon.
They're making non-alcoholic Hef for their fest beer. They're making some kind of Oktoberfest Hef instead of making their lager, instead of making their Marzen. So
I don't like it.
You know, I'm not into wheat beers like that.
If I go, I'll try it, but I'm not like, I don't know.
You might fuck with one of them slushies.
It's got 40 degrees.
Bring on the slushies. I will have one slushie.
Be in your like puffy jacket and all, you know, hat on.
It'd be sunny. Slushy. It'd be sunny out. It'd be good. That's a good party. The summer one's good, whatever that one's called.
That's the anniversary.
Beer Festiversary?
Yeah.
And then Oktoberfest. Those are good, man.
Beer Festiversary and Oktoberfest.
Those are good. Yeah, I do
this
like.
This is over 10 years of Beguile.
Yeah, because last year they did the barley wine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Beguile, underrated.
I checked them out. Anything else before we get out of here?
Fest
Beer is great from Dovetail.
Double Clutch,
yeah.
I think we should close on that. If you go to Double Clutch because you've never been, check out the classic cars. And if you're stuck between Mars and Fest Beer, get the Fest Beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Don't do it. Take care.
Cheers.